now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we'll take our text from verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a thankful people, Lord, to have this privilege, Lord, and knowing that the devil is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, throwing 8 inches of snow on us down here. But yet, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to come. You allowed us, Lord, to be partakers. And I just feel like, Father, that we're in a race now, right to the end, right to the finish. And it's not for the faint or the weary, but the battle is to the victor. And so, Lord, we realize that it's you working in us to will and to do. So you are the victor, O God. And that victory was brought forth through the instrument of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for giving us this privilege, Lord, to come together once again. And we ask, Father, that you would receive all the preeminence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday we began a little study where we were examining the attributes of the seed of God versus, or the sons of God versus attributes of the seed of Satan. And we're taking this little study because Brother Branham said in his message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 163, which is 340 in your booklets. Brother Branham says, Jesus said, if you can receive it, this is he who it was spoken of. I send my messenger before my face, Malachi 3, to prepare the way before me. See, sure, he was predestinated to see that message, and that was speaking of John, but he also, Brother Branham speaks in the next paragraph here, of Paul. Well, notice Brother Adam said he was the messenger for that age. He was predestinated to see that message. So if the messenger is not predestinated to see the message, what about us? But if the messenger is predestinated to see the message, then what about us? So anyway, paragraph 168, he says, same when he reveals himself to Paul, another predestinated seed. In paragraph 169, he says, and he was a predestinated seed. God chose him. I have chosen him, and I'm going to show him. So you see the attributes of being elect. Notice God says, I've chosen him and I'm going to show him. So God just doesn't choose you to sit on a log. He doesn't choose you just to lay back, put your hands behind your head and say, thank God that he sent a prophet. He chooses to show. So we see the attributes of being elect seed is that you will see when God shows you things in his word that are hidden from all others, because it's not for them. Now, just going over the first three attributes again. The first attribute of the seed of God is that all who are ordained to life believe God's word. We found that in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. We also heard Brother Ram say from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, how can men believe unless they were ordained to believe? There were many people in his days who did not believe it, but he came to those who did believe it. So God anoints his seed to not only see, but to believe, and thus understand what he wants us to see and to believe. In 1 John 2:20, he says, but you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One that you know all things. So it's not just a matter of believing. You know, we have a lot of people who say, well, we don't have to understand, we have to believe it. But my question to them is this, what do you mean by believe? Because how can you believe something that you don't understand what you're believing? I mean, you've got to have a focus on what you're believing. You can't just, I just believe, somehow I believe. You know, you either believe or you don't believe, but you've got to understand it is who you're believing, right? So, in fact, we know that unless you're born again by the Spirit of God, you will never see nor will you understand the things of God. We saw in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a manner. I thought it was my shoe. Squeaking, okay. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So you see that we must be ordained to it, or we'll never get it. Even if it's plainly explained to us in the simplest of terms, we'll never get it unless it's revealed. So the revelation, as Brother Branham said, only God can reveal. You know, I used to think Brother Branham said things in such a way as to blind some. and then to reveal it to others. But I don't think Brother Branham tried to blind anybody. But the word itself does blind.
Sure.
You understand? Look, Brother Branham tried to use the easiest words for us to understand. Brother Vail tried to use the biggest words for us to understand. You understand? So it doesn't matter if it's the big words or the little words. If you're not ordained to see it, you're just not going to see it. You understand? Paul tells us in the next three verses, in speaking of this hidden wisdom, he says that if you're not ordained to see it, you never will. He says, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. You see, they just didn't know. For had they known it, it would have changed their behavior. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you truly believe the judge of all the earth is here, it's going to change the way you act.
Yes.
You understand? So it tells me when people do things and continuously treat people with disdain, they don't believe. It's theology. It's rhetoric. It's social gospel. But if you truly believe that we are in the winding up of all the ages, that we are just waiting for the capstone ministry of the bride, which is God himself, the God life in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the very life of Jesus Christ manifested in the bride, doing the things he did, saying the things he did. If you truly believe that, it does change the way you live. It does change the way you are. Because look, as we gave the example, Brother Jim, several times we've used this example. Remember, Brother Ram said, I'm in the middle. This brother, he believes me, everything I say. And this brother, he's having a hard time believing. So I try as hard as I can to live the life of Christ so that this one here will believe. Brother Branham put out in order for people to believe. Jesus said, I sanctify myself for them, Father. You understand? All right, now, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered in the heart or the understanding of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now notice, these things that God is doing are for those who love him, those who are ordained to love him. And Paul tells us how that we're able to receive them and understand these hidden things. Notice verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So your spirit doesn't search nothing. All your spirit can understand is the things of man. So it can't possibly understand the things of God. But if you're born again by the Spirit of God, God's very own Spirit, his very own life living and abiding in you, then you can't help but to hunger and thirst for more of God's life and more of the things of the Spirit, because the Spirit, his Spirit in you, searches all things. So when men are just, they're just not interested, it is because they are not subject to God's Spirit, because they are abiding in their own spirit, the spirit of man. That's what Paul continues. He says, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man that's in him? That's what Brother Branham also said. He said, a knot on the tree could not understand how you get up and walk around and go places. It's just foreign to him. You understand? Well, anyway. Even so, or in the same manner, the things of God knoweth no man. But he says, but the Spirit of God knows. So we see it very clear here that unless you're born again, you will never understand what this message is all about. Now, that won't stop people from admiring certain abilities that they see in certain preachers and thus following after those preachers and making camps and everything else. But to faithfully follow a man doesn't mean one red cent to God. You can faithfully follow Lee Vail and go to hell. You can faithfully follow William Branham and go to hell. following the man. If Judas, look, if it did mean one red cent, that a man follows a man, what about Judas? Judas followed Jesus for 3.5 years, all the way up to the end. And then very end, he took a turtle tail. I mean, he took a raven tail, whatever you want to call it. He didn't, it wasn't a dove spirit. But anyway, notice, right up to the end of Jesus' ministry in the flesh, he was with him. But notice, at the end, he manifested what seed life was really in him, and he couldn't turn that corner when Jesus came to the place of his adoption. He couldn't turn that corner with him. And Paul tells us in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit which is of God. And remember that word of is, you know, it's an acronym, out from. So we see Paul says that we don't have the spirit that the world has, because we have received a different spirit, the spirit of God, the spirit which came out of God. And God gave us his own spirit for one reason. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's just cut it short. That we might know. He gives us a spirit that we might know. In other words, how can a man have the mind of Christ if he doesn't have the spirit of Christ to go with it? So you can see that the reason we receive the spirit of God is that we might know the things of God. And if we receive them, then we're going to talk about them, and they will be the focus of our mind, our heart, and thus our speaking. That's why Paul says in verse 13, which things also we speak. You see, the things that we know, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So our comparisons will not be spiritual with natural, or natural with spiritual, but they will be comparing spiritual things with spiritual principles. In other words, we won't have our focus on the natural or the world, and then try to make something spiritual out of the natural or what's in the world. I've met plenty of those people along the way who are always looking at the world and then trying to make something spiritual out of everything they see in the world. Frankly, I'm not interested in the world. I just want his life living in me. And Paul continues here. He says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So Paul tells us it's impossible for a natural man, a man that's unregenerate, a man that does not have the Holy Ghost, to understand the things of God. It's impossible. And in order for them to be spiritually discerned, he says, because they are spiritually discerned. In order for them to be spiritually discerned, it then takes one who has God's Spirit to do so, because unless you're Spirit-filled, you will never be able to discern the things of God. And this word discern means to properly search and scrutinize, investigate, discern, examine, and then judge. So if you're not spirit-filled, then good luck understanding what this message is really all about. And that is why we have such a mess among us in all these camps, because men are chasing after their own intellectual endeavors instead of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why hardly no one in the ministry is focused on this end-time season and the promises that God has in store for them that love him. They're not. They're looking back. Always looking back. Always looking forward and failing to recognize, what is God doing now? What season are we in right now? We're not in, brother, sister, the season of Malachi 4. That's past. That's 50 years, brother, sister. That's more than a generation. That's past. We're in the season coming up to the adoption, the season of the resurrection, the season of the manifestation of sons of God. The season when we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And that is what all of our preaching, all of our focus should be, because that's the promise for us. Brother Branham had the promise of Malachi 4. We had that back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s. But the promise right now is for what is going to happen to us to get to that resurrection. Now, notice Paul says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That word judge there, and judgeth, is the same Greek word that was used for discern, where he says they are spiritually discerned. It's the same Greek word. So what he's saying then is that, but he that is spiritual discerns all things, examines all things, scrutinizes all things, and then judges all things, and yet he himself is not discerned of any man. You see, how can they discern you if you have the Spirit and they don't have the Spirit? They can't discern you because they don't have any recollection. They don't have any idea. You know, the things of a man knows because you got the Spirit of a man. That's as far as they can go. You can discern them. And it says, but he that is spiritual discerns all things. You can discern them because you've been there, done that. You've broken free from that spirit of man. You understand? And you're born again. And you're living by his Spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But they cannot in turn discern you because they have no clue. You see, so they will look into their motives and see something you do and apply their motives to you. Right?
Yes.
Exactly. And that's why they miss the boat. That's why they're always accusing. You see? Anyway. And we already showed you that no man can discern the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him to do so. And then Paul says, and in fact, the same thing holds true for you once you have the Spirit of God in you. You will be able to discern others because you were just like them. But they will no longer be able to discern you because they have no clue where you are today because they don't have the same Spirit as you have. You are the man who could understand the things of a man. But now you're sons of God. Therefore, you can understand the things of God. You see? Because you're quickened to life, God life, and you understand what is happening to you and to others who also have that God life. You know what they're going through. But since these others have not been quickened to the same God life, they cannot understand where you're coming from or where you're going. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's the key right there. If you have the Spirit of God, you have the mind of God. But if you have not the Spirit of God, then how can you ever have the mind of God? And if you have not the mind of God, then how could you know and understand the things that are given of God? So then, what have they got then? Honestly, what have they got? They've got religion. They got plenty of that. But they're lacking the Spirit. So you have twins. And therefore, the first attribute of serpent seed is they have no place for the Word. Now, even Jesus told us, those very religious Pharisees in John 8:37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. And again in 1 John 4:5-6, he says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now I think I might be talking too much about 1, 2, and 3, the attributes, but let's just move ahead. So we saw Sunday that the second attribute of the Son of God is this. They love the true Word of God, the revealed and vindicated Word for the season. And Brother Branham said that we love the Word because we have the Holy Spirit in us to do so. From Way to Have Fellowship, he said, I love the Word, don't you? And you know why you love the Word? You have the Holy Spirit in you. So that's why you love the Word. And Paul says, we love to speak it, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And for modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Brown said, and when a man or woman has set under creeds and cold formal religion, if he's ordained to be a son of God and he sees the word of God preached in his power and God vindicates it, he's an eagle to begin with. He'll run to it as sure as two twos is four. He can't help it because his very nature loves the Word of God. I don't care what anybody else says. When he sees the Word of God being made manifest, he flies to it because he is a little eagle. And of course, if God's seed loved the Word, then Satan's seed will hate the Word. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in an unrightwise word. Now, in finishing our review of Sunday's material, we saw the third attribute of a true son of God is that they come to the light, the real word, and they won't walk in darkness. In John 3:21, we read, but he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, but his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In other words, these come to the light because they want to be made manifest. And the others, it says they don't want to be made manifest. They don't want to be revealed. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see that the attribute then of being God, Son of God, is you're attracted to the light. And the others are not. But since Satan's seed hates the light, you couldn't hardly expect them to come to it, could you? In Matthew 23:13, it says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Now the NIV puts it this way: woe to you, hypocritical teachers. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those entering who are trying to. Or let those enter who are trying to. And the Message Bible is a new translation. It puts it this way: I've had it with you, you frauds. Your lives are roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter, and you won't let anyone else in either who wants to come in. Now we also see in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, ungodlikeness, and unrightwiseness of men who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. And the NIV puts it this way: the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. In other words, suppressing and holding it down, just trying to use whatever means they can to keep it from going out. So because they won't go in, they don't want anyone else to go in, and so they suppress the truth in any way they can, and usually the best way to do that is they use scarecrows. They call the truth evil, they call it false doctrine, they call it heresy, and yet the Apostle Paul said, I worship God in the way they call heresy. So in Acts 24:14 we read, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 19, we read, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed for what they are. Now this takes us to our next attribute of Son of God, the fourth attribute in our study, and that is this: only God's sons can understand his mind, his word. Now, we've already gone into 1 Corinthians 2 this evening and showed you that if you have the Spirit of God, you will understand the things of God. You cannot have the Spirit of God unless you're born of that Spirit. In other words, you can't be a son of God unless you're born of the Spirit, right? Okay. Paul said in Romans 8:9, and if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if you're none of his, then you're not his, period. So how can you claim him if you're not his? But those that are his, we read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them gave he exousia, to become sons of God. The word exousia means an ability to make a right decision. And this brings you to even to them that believe on my name. So you can't help but believe. That's exactly Acts 13:48 again. So without this ability to make a right decision, you will never be a believer. Or you can call yourself a believer all you wish. But there will always be some scripture that will take you out if you're not ordained to believe. Now I'm going to read you something from Brother Branham which will challenge everyone who claims to be a believer. Notice this is the paragraph that I read back in number 255 in our spoken word series that started all the fussing going. But I also read it back in 112 of the same series, which is 2 years earlier, in August of 2009. Why wasn't there any fuss back then? Why did the fuss not come until 2011? In June of 2011. Well, I'll tell you why. Maybe I better not. Anyway, it's the money trail. It's all about the money. I'll just say it. Brother Vail had agreed, and Jimmy and Sister Lois were sitting there one night, and I'd gone to Brother Vail and said, I understand, Brother Vail, that people are saying that they're going to control your material when you're gone. And I said, I'd like a letter from you stating that we can continue to publish whatever we can. And so Brother Vail signed a letter, and then he said, and I might as well tell you that when I'm gone, 50%, you, Brian, will have 50% of the say-so over all the funds that I leave behind. Now, that was done October of 2009. All the fussing began after that. I had preached this same quote, used the same quote, talked about it, adoption, nobody cared, no problem at all. But when it came down to something that's green, and the love of money is the root of all evil, And I'm just telling you because that's the truth. And I just want the people to understand. I'm not saying that to throw aspersions. I'm just saying that when you look at, well, you know, if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And when you have things that come up like that, when you could be doing something and no problem, and all of a sudden there's a problem, you have to ask, what was the cause of the problem? And so anyway, this is the quote, this is the paragraph, Brother Branham, that was attacked. The works that Jesus did, now if a man has the Spirit of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if the same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to St. John 14:12. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, this is not just some out-of-the-way quote from Brother Branham. This is what the entire spoken word is, the original seed, is all about. As Brother Billy Paul said, Brother Branham told him it was the greatest of all of his sermons. and the revelation of this hour is the same life that was in God, that was in his Son, same life that was in William Branham, is the same life that's supposed to be in you and I, the same life. Well, if it's the same life, it's going to have, you're going to live the same life, brother, sister. You know, you can't say, you know, well, I plant cucumbers here and I plant cucumbers here, but I expect squash over here, but cucumbers here. If you plant the life of Jesus here and it's planted right here, it's going to produce the same thing. You understand? In fact, Brother Brown continues in the very next paragraph, paragraph 90, he says, what is it? It's the same seed. Can't keep. Now, how can you plant wheat here and wheat here and say I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed and it's a bad product and it's dead in itself. And it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. And if you want a church, start with the Word of God. And if you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in you, in its fullness, every measure of it. And then that's, and if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. See? Then now, where's your latter rain coming up? You see where that's going after a while, don't you? Going over with them wild gourds that Elijah got and thought they were gourds, and them school of the prophets up there and the denomination they got and gathered some wild gourds and thought that they were peas. Oh well. Then paragraph 91. Then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was his example seed, and what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced, will that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same things that he did. If it's the same seed, Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. Now, shame on you women with bobbed hair. Shame on you preachers denying that truth. Say it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it. But God said it did. In other words, shame on you people who claim to be believers and then live a life that is different from the Son of God. And so just because you say that you believe doesn't mean a hill of beans with God. When God accepts your belief and vindicates it by his life living in you, then you can say that you're a believer. Until then, you're no more than just a hitchhiker on your way hoping to get a ride to heaven somehow. Maybe on the coattail of Lee Vail or William Branham. In fact, that's what Brother Branham said in his sermon preparation. Paragraph 30, he said, the people say, well now Brother Branham, when I believe it, that settles it. No, it doesn't. There has to be a transaction of God there in a confirmation of your faith, giving you a new birth. How many, well tell the people here. I'm just so sick and tired of seeing people thumbing their way to heaven. They just say, you believe that? Uh-huh. You believe that? You believe that? That's a hitchhiker. Brother, God ain't got such things as that. A man's got to be born of the Spirit of God, a regeneration, and made a new creature, or he's lost. That's all. That's exactly. We got to believe it. We got to accept it. You say, well, if I believe, well, that settles it. No, it doesn't. Now, that's pretty strong talking from a vindicated prophet. No, it doesn't. I told you the other night that Cain was a believer. And I'll give you a little stronger meat than that tonight if you want it. If you want to believe it. The devil's a believer. And the Bible says he is. He believes and he trembles. And the devil is a believer. Now, if belief and faith in God is all that you have to be saved, then the devil's saved according to the Word of God. Well, come on. That's right. But brother, it's got to take the Holy Spirit, a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts His Spirit in you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. So until you're ready to die to self, then how is He going to fill you? Now I'm getting back to John 1 and 12. He says, but as many as received Him, in other words, as many as were of such a nature as to hear, recognize, and act upon the Word of God, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on His name. So the new birth will produce confirmed belief. Which were born, he says, which were born, not of blood. In other words, it don't matter who your daddy is. It don't matter if your daddy was a vindicated prophet of God. Doesn't matter if your daddy was an anointed teacher of God. Uh-uh. Not by blood, he says. And it's not by flesh. Look at the children of Isaac and Rebekah. Two believers, and yet they produced an Esau. Look at Abraham, who produced an Ishmael. So he says here, your new birth is not by blood, nor of the will of flesh. Nothing you can do. It's nothing you can produce yourself, nor of the will of man. It's not something that you can be voted into either. But it's being born of God. That's it. And as we have been saying in this message tonight, it's not just believing, but you have to understand what you're believing. And if you say that you don't believe the promise of John 14, 12 is for the church, then you're in effect saying, I do not believe. And therefore, if you say you don't believe, well, then you're an unbeliever. Because we've proven by hundreds of quotes from a vindicated prophet that this promise is for the church, is for everyone who believes, just as the third pole in the bride is for all believers at this end time. And Saturday night, we even showed you where Brother Vail taught on John 14, 12. That it's a part of the capstone ministry of the bride that must manifest itself in the bride before the resurrection, during the season of the resurrection, which is also the season for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the problem that we have in this hour, and in fact in every hour, is that people hang around the message for their day, and they accept some of the word for that day, but not all of the word, and this age is no different. We see in John 8:31, Jesus talking to the believers in His day, and He warned them that they must not believe for just a while, but they must continue in their believing. He then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. These were believers. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples. You've got to continue. You can't just stop short. So these were people who were already believing in Him, but He told them that they must continue in it. You can't stop believing, brothers and sisters. You must fully enter into the Word. You must step into it. You must, look, you must hear it. Recognize the promise for your age. And then take a hold of it. Like Brother Bram said, you've got to believe you're the only one. You know, if there's only one coming out of this area, you got to believe that's me. And you got to step into it. You see, you can't stop believing, brothers and sisters. You must fully enter into the Word, step into it, become that Word for the age in which you live. For if you stop short of the promise for the age in which you live, it means it wasn't meant for you. And your faith was not confirmed by God, and therefore you did not receive the promise. It's not over yet. People thought it was all over when God sent a prophet. That was the beginning. When Moses arrived on the scene, look, that was just the beginning, brother, sister. And they went through 40 years of people falling away. My goodness. All those people saw all those wonderful things God did, and then they disbelieve a prophet. And they try to say, well, he's not vindicated. You know, Now they're fussing about, you know, well, there wasn't 13 people fell off the bridge because nobody has a record of it anywhere. Well, there's a lot of old-timers around that area that knew of it. It wasn't just some rumor going on. You know, I was called to a building in 1994 out in Los Angeles where 8 men fell to their death. It wasn't in the paper. I had to go out because I had to meet with the architects because there's 2 groups of men were building. They got 6 floors up. So these guys thought, well, we're going to beat them. They piled up enough material for the next 6 floors, and it fell in. They fell with it. It wasn't in the papers. You know why? Because it'd be big lawsuits, big reputation, everything else. What do? They meet with those 8 families. They say, well, we'll give you $1 million. Take care of it. You know, things will go away. Keep it private. But if you speak anything about it, you lose the money. That's how they handle those things. I'm sorry. There's things that look, who's around now to prove that Jesus raised from the dead? Come on. It wasn't in the newspapers back then, was it? It wasn't in Google? Oh, I'm sorry. They only had Google around 12 years now. You see how people are ordained not to believe? This is the hour for everyone to manifest exactly what seed they are. From anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead, they're gone. And even notice in Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife had followed the angels of God out of Sodom. She followed those messengers. But she stopped, and when she quit moving forward in the Word of God for her day, when she began to turn around, to look back, she crystallized. What happened? First her mind stopped, then her body stopped. And when she did not, and when she did, she turned to a pillar of salt. First her mind crystallized, then her body became transformed into her revelation. What was that? She was crystallized. Salts are crystals, right? Well, John 8:47 tells us, he that is of God hears God's words. Notice, heareth. Not heard, heareth. Continuous. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Now the word heareth is present tense, and it means to understand present tense. He did not say he that once heard it and understood it, but he said he that understands it, he that heareth. Heareth means to understand. That is now present tense now. What God is doing now. Anyone can look back 50 years ago and see that God sent a prophet, but the real question is, what is God doing now? What are the promises of God that are yet to be manifest in this age? What portion of this end time season word is for me to step into and have God confirm my belief in it and that I'm a part of it? That's what we must be looking forward to. Anyone can live in the past, but you'll never make it on someone else's coattails. Either God confirms your revelation or he hasn't confirmed your revelation. In Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 10, we read, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Now, anybody can talk about the past, but we have a word for the season. And then he goes on, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, who's wakening who? God is wakening me morning by morning because it is God in me who is working to will and to do. Who wakes you in the morning? Is it some radio station? Or is it God? I hope you're listening to the prophet when you wake up. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is present that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Everything there is present tense, brother, sister. He wakens me morning by morning as one being taught Well, who's teaching? Doesn't the Bible say that all should be taught of God? You see, people, it is either ordained of God that we understand it, or it is not. Jesus himself said in Matthew 13:11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. And Matthew 13:16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, but to them it's not given. In Mark 4:11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And Luke 8:10, he says the same thing. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, notice in all three times that this story is told, we hear Jesus tell us that some are ordained to believe, and others are ordained and to understand, and others are ordained not to believe and not to understand. But we see that in the serpent seed, these cannot understand the word of God, for they have not been ordained to receive it, nor believe it, because there is no place for the word in their heart. Notice Jesus tells us that we can only do what is in our genetic makeup to do. He said in John 8, in verse 38 and 39, he said that the nature of the life in the seed will predominate how we act and how we believe. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, what if you're the children of God? Doesn't the same rule follow? I mean, doesn't Genesis 1:11 say that every seed after its kind? In other words, the very nature that's in the seed is going to be in you. It's going to have to do the same thing. You know, if I plant a tomato seed, like Brother Brown said here, and a tomato seed there, I'm not expecting something different out of this than what I'm expecting over here. I'm expecting the same thing. It's the same seed, same life. In Matthew 23:32, he says, fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Now, what do you suppose he meant by that? Fill you up the measure? Well, to fill up means to execute. It means to manifest or fulfill. Fulfill what? The measure. And the word measure means the limited portion. In other words, the limitations of your fathers is exactly what you will do that you're limited to. But what is your father? What if your father has no limits to what he can do? Then neither do you. That's a great thing to think about. I love that because Brother Branham said, you have enough power in you to go speak worlds and go live on them. Well, that means you can not only speak to the world, but you're going to have to find a way to get on there or to get there. Well, we see here also in John 8:43-45, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now, this word here means to understand, so he says that they cannot understand. Why? Because it takes the Spirit of God to give you the mind of God. And if no Spirit of God in you, then no mind of God in you. It's that simple. And if no mind of God in you, then how in the world do you expect to understand the things of God? And he tells us these were not ordained to understand it. Now let's look at these limitations in seed life that's in them. Jesus said in verse 44, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. So you, he's talking about you know, to them, you too will have unquenchable lust. And then he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, so you too will have a murder spirit. And he abode not in the truth, so you too will not abide or remain in the truth. And then he says, because there is no truth in him. So how can you have truth if your father didn't have truth? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And if he's the father of lies, then wouldn't his children having the same genetic makeup also be a family attribute of lying? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And notice here, he just says that they do not believe. That just settles it. So I was hoping tonight that we could get through three more of the attributes, but I think because of time, we're going to close now. We still have 15 or 16 left in these attributes. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're enjoying this study, Lord, because there's so many scriptures. Actually, if we could take the time, we could probably spend two or three weeks on each of these attributes, Lord, with all the quotes and scriptures available to us. But just to get the point across, Lord, you said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, so we're trying to give two or three scriptures and quotes, Lord, for each. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, because you have given us an understanding. And you give us a heart to want to understand, O God, and a heart and a desire to want to be like Thee. Help us, Lord, to get to the place where it is You and You alone. As Brother Branham said, that You will have the preeminence in the bride. That means, Father, you know what it means, but I'm just praying, Lord, but Father, that means to us that it's just Jesus only. As Paul said, I didn't come to check up on you or anything else. I just come to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, that's all I want for my life. All I want, Lord, is that others could see Jesus Christ living in me. So help me, Lord, to crucify myself. And Lord, help all of us, Lord, to get to the place, Father, that we're just so in love with You. You know, Your prophets, as Brother Ram said, they were prisoners. Your Son was a prisoner, and yet it's not a prisoner like against our will. It was because they love knowing that all things will work together for them for the good. That everything You have for them is not yea and nay, it's all yea. Oh God, it's all positive. So Lord, it's not like we have a better idea than You do. So Lord, knowing that we don't, knowing that our thoughts are not Your thoughts, help us, Lord, just to die to our thoughts. Help us, Father, just to let go and let God in. And Lord, we know we're coming to the end. The course is running out. We realize, Lord, that there lays in front of us several promises yet for the bride. We know there's a resurrection, but that's not for us because we're living. That's for those who have gone on before us. But we know there is a season coming up to that resurrection. And we know that season is also the season for the manifestation of Your sons, to manifest the very life of Christ in them, the capstone ministry of the bride, the third pole in the bride, as Brother Brown called it. So Father, help us, Lord, knowing that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, knowing that Your sons are to manifest Your God life. And Father, help us, Lord, to focus on those things and help us to enter into those things. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee.